Fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and the smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can now enjoy the taste and smell of fresh manna. Today, you'll be listening to Mike Lambert, pastor of the Holland Seventh-day Adventist Church. And now, here's Pastor Mike.
Hey, you know, it's a privilege and an honor for my family and I to team up with your church family. And we want to thank you for the kind and generous invitation to be your pastor. We have spent much time in prayer over this, and we believe that God is in it, and we are looking forward to putting our shoulder to the plow with you, and we're looking forward to getting to know each one of you. I know a few of you a little bit, and we're looking forward to our friendship and our time together. Around 35 years ago, Jane and I, we entered our first church in Missoula, Montana. And I mentioned to that church and to the churches that God has given us the responsibility to lead, mentioned that I believe that this is going to be my last church because I believe that Jesus is coming soon. I have always believed that. And so here we are a few years down the road now. And we're joining up with you, and I just want to say again, I believe and I hope and I pray that this is my last church responsibility. I believe that Jesus is coming soon, and he's going to use you and me in this area to humbly play our part in the hastening of his appearing. So thank you again for giving us the privilege of being here. And I also have a good friend here over to my right, over to your left, Pastor Kirkpatrick and his family's here. So Larry, good to see you, Pam. And I don't see Michaela. Is Michaela there? Oh, Michaela was ducking down. Sorry, Michaela. And Shamus. They served in the Northwest for a number of years where I have had the privilege to serve, and so they're here today. And if you all don't mind, but over the past couple of weeks, I have had several people from the Northwest whom I've had the privilege of working with. They've been asking when my first Sabbath here was going to be. And I told them it would be this Sabbath. And I believe many of them may be joining us live stream. So as a church family, can you say amen with your brothers and sisters in Christ from the Northwest? Amen. And those of you who might be watching from the Northwest, I just want you to know, made it here safely. And I miss you guys already, but we're looking forward to our work here in Holland. These are your brothers and sisters in Christ, and God has given us the responsibility of serving where we are at. So welcome to Holland, Michigan, and our church service here. And with just that short introduction, it is my privilege to commend to you this morning the sacred scriptures. The Bible is the fully inspired Word of God. It is the infallible revelation of His will, the authoritative revealer of doctrine, and the Bible is the trustworthy record of God's acts in history. So what do you say? Let us prayerfully and humbly read and study the Bible more. For in it we will find hope for every crisis. But more importantly, we will find our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who died to redeem us from sin. Will you please pray with me as we open God's Word?
Our Father in heaven, Lord, we take time now in our worship to open the sacred scriptures. As we do so, we ask for your Holy Spirit to draw nigh and to lead and guide us in our study. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
The title of our subject that I have selected today is Give Me the Bible. And this is our opening take. The Bible is the greatest of reformers. Now, you may think that I ought to have applied this term to Wycliffe or Huss or Jerome or Luther, and certainly we could add Calvin and Zwingli to the list. But this book that we call the Bible is the reformer of the reformers. This is the reformer that reformed Luther. This is the teacher that instructed Wycliffe. This is the prophet that fired the heart of Zwingli. And so while this book is in existence, it will ever do the same in the hearts of all who consider its sacred pages. While this book is in existence, error will always be in danger of overthrow. Men may quibble and criticize an open Bible. Men may invent new ideas and teachings if they please, but this is the rock on which all their thoughts and plans will split and be crushed. As God lives, His Word lives. His teachings live. His commands live. His standards live. His promises live. His truth lives. The grass withers, but the Word of God abides forever. Will you open your Bibles with me to 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter? 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we wish to begin with verse number 1. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, the Bible says, "This know also, that in the last days, what kind of times will come? Perilous times will come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having something," having what? "A form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away." And then the Apostle Paul grants more information to try to give encouragement to Timothy. And then he comes to the point in this chapter, verse 14. "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child you have known something." What have you known? "You have known from childhood the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." All scripture, how much of scripture? All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Amen. And so in a cold, damp dungeon in Rome, probably the Tullianum dungeon, sat the tent maker from Tarsus, eloquently penning instructions to his younger protege, Timothy. He told Timothy that in the last days perilous times would come, and after giving a number of examples of what that would be like, the aged apostle mentioned that some of those things were already beginning to take place in their day. He then encouraged Timothy with what to do when men resisted the truth and troubled the church. Timothy, continue thou in the things that you have learned and have been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And I believe as we live over 2,000 years later, I believe that that advice from the Apostle Paul to the younger Timothy, that that advice is still good today. And if I can update verse number 1 of chapter 3 a little bit, I would say this: this know also, that we are in the last days, and perilous times are here, and will continue to be until the day when Christ bursts open the eastern skies of planet Earth at the time of his second coming. Between now and then, it would be well for us to consider the apostles' counsel. Continue thou in the things which you have learned from Scripture. In a nutshell, it's what we might call getting back to the Bible and prayerfully and daily considering its lessons. I started attending church when I was around 10 years old, and as a child, first going to the Kent Seventh-day Adventist Church about 20 miles south of Seattle, I learned that song, the B-I-B-L-E, and I still like it today. What about you? The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's what? The book for me, I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Several years ago, I read something that said the B-I-B-L-E was an acronym. You probably have heard that as well. Basic information or basic instruction before leaving Earth. And I like that. The prophet to the remnant church put it this way concerning God's people and the Bible at the end of time. But God will have a people upon the earth who will maintain something. Maintain what? The Bible, and the Bible only, as the standard of all doctrine and the basis of all reform. And then she goes on to say, and this is like, I remember when I was in college, English 101, how many of you remember that class? They taught us how to write. One of the things they taught us is not to write run-on sentences, which I seemed to be famous for at that time. But here's a run-on sentences, but it is packed with power. The opinions of learned men, the deductions of science, the creeds or decisions of ecclesiastical councils, as numerous and discordant as are the churches which they represent, the voice of the majority, not one nor all of these should be regarded as evidence for or against any point of religious faith. End of sentence. Before accepting any doctrine or precept, we should demand a plain, thus saith the Lord, in its support. This will make us, at least will help us, in two areas. Number one, as the Apostle Paul said to the younger Timothy, the Scriptures are able to make you what? Wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And in this time in Earth's history, do I need to become more wise in salvation? Absolutely. Do you? Absolutely. Well, how can we get there? We find this wisdom in this book that we call the Holy Bible. So it will make us, number one, wise unto salvation. Number two, it will perfect us so that we are truly, the old King James word, I like it, truly furnished unto all good works. How would you like to get to a place like that, where you are truly furnished unto all good works? The Greek word there is this funny word that's pronounced exartizo. It means to be fully qualified. It means to be complete. It means to be equipped to be able to meet all demands. And I would like to be in that kind of a place. What about you? Well, as we prayerfully consecrate ourselves to God each day, open the pages of the Bible, the Holy Spirit will give us wisdom and understanding. God will empower us to become more like Him, and then we will have more effect in being able to meet all demands that are taking place in this world right now, which seems like is going bonkers. Promises like this one are all through the sacred scriptures and are possible, I believe, for every born-again Christian. The hard part is putting it to practice in the everyday life. Is that something that you have realized? Yeah. For there are some days that are more challenging than others. Some days, things seem to go pretty good. Other days, it seems like all hell breaks loose. Some days, you're the windshield. And some days, you're the bug. When I was a boy, I used to enjoy Charles Schulz peanut strip. I still enjoy it. How many of you read that every now and then? Not very many hands go. Oh, some of you, good. So we're on the same page together. A long time ago, you know, I looked at the peanut strip, you know, with each of the little boxes going across the newspaper page. And Lucy and Charlie Brown were discussing theology. And Lucy said to Charlie Brown, on the great cruise ship life, there are those who place their deck chairs on the bow to look ahead to see where they are going. Charlie Brown, there are those who place their deck chairs at the stern to look behind to see where they have been. And then Lucy asked Charlie Brown the question, Charlie Brown, where do you place your deck chair? And without missing a beat, Charlie Brown said, Lucy, I can't get my deck chair unfolded. And that is like so many of us. We have a hard time getting the deck chair unfolded. And what I would like to suggest is this. If we would continue, or in some cases today, get back to this idea of give me the Bible, the deck chairs will get unfolded in their proper place at the right time. So let me ask you a question. How many of you can remember the first time that you opened your Bible and started reading? How many of you remember that? I'm going to get a show of hands. How few of you remember that? I remember that day like it was yesterday. Let me share a little bit of what led up to that day. In my life, I was born and raised in the Seattle area. I was born, and in that situation that I was born into, became a ward of the court of the state of Washington. And I remained a ward of the court till I turned 18. Lived in 16 different homes growing up. Most of those homes were in the first 8 years of my life. And at the age of 8, an aunt and uncle took me in, and they loved me as their own, and they're who I call mom and dad even today. And they lived in a couple of different housing projects. And in the Crystal View Project, about 20, 25 miles south of Seattle, there were one day a group of church members from the Kent Seventh-day Adventist Church in the Washington Conference. Some church members, they were doing some door-to-door work in that neighborhood, and they knocked on our door. And what they were doing, they were giving out some literature, and they were inviting people to church. And my dad said, well, we work on Sunday morning, so that's not going to work into our schedule. He was a foreman at a garbage company, and on Sunday mornings, I went with him, and we washed garbage trucks by hand, you know, before these automated washing systems that these places have now. And so he said, thank you very much. He took the literature, and there was a young lady in the group there. She said, well, if you're busy on Sunday, I believe we have some good news for you because our services are on Saturday. And so we started attending the Kent Seventh-day Adventist Church because it worked into my parents' schedule. I was around the age of 10. It was the summer of 1971. We went to church, and afterwards, I asked my dad, I said, you know, there's a guy that stands up front in the church. And my dad said, well, yeah, that's the pastor. I said, well, he has a black book, and he reads stories from it. And so I asked my dad, I said, can I have one of those black books? And he says, well, that's a Bible. I said, well, it doesn't matter to me what you call it. Can I have one? I would like to read it. And he says, well, Bibles cost a little bit of money, but he said, I'll start saving up some money, and we will get you your own Bible. And I was pretty happy with that. But what he didn't know was when he got up each morning that summer and went to work, he had to be down at the shop about 4:30 in the morning. He would crank up the old Dodge Power Wagon truck, diesel. Remember those old diesels? You know, you start them up and it wakes up the whole neighborhood. So he would start it up and it would wake me up. I had my bedroom down in the basement. I knew he was heading off to work. And so I would get out of bed and go up to my mom and dad's bedroom, and my dad had his Bible on his nightstand. So I grabbed his Bible, and I went down to my room and turned on my light, and I read from the sacred pages of this book. Read through the Old Testament that summer. Didn't understand hardly much of anything that I read, but one thing that caught my attention was the love, this might shock some of you, the love and patience of God. That struck me the most as I read through the Old Testament. Because I was like reading, and I said, here's these group of people that are supposed to be following God. He frees them, and then they go do other things and worship other gods. You know, and in my little 10-year-old mind, I was like, what's God going to do? And I was expecting God to step back and just kind of throttle them. And, you know, over and over, the children of Israel would come back and they would repent and say sorry. And I began to see the picture. Yeah, they're coming back and they're saying sorry again. What's this God going to do? And God forgives them. And in my mind, I'm going, no, you know, just deal with them, you know. I'm thankful that God doesn't operate that way. God is a loving God with tender mercies and is ever patient, ever forgiving. And I got a little bit of that picture. And so I started reading the Bible. And I opened to the first chapter. I didn't know the Bible was made up of different books with different writers. I just opened up to chapter 1, which I pronounced Genesis. And I read through the book of Genesis, and I enjoyed the story of creation, the story of the flood, you know, the call of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and the story of Joseph intrigued my mind. And after I was finished reading through Genesis, I decided, well, before I go on to Exodus, I got that one right. I said, I enjoyed Genesis so much, I'm going to go back and I'm going to read through Genesis. And so I read through Genesis again. It took a few mornings. And after the second time I read through Genesis, I knelt down on my knees. This part of my personal testimony, when I just tell that part of it, I call it skinny knees on a concrete floor. Because that's exactly what it was. Knelt down on my concrete floor, and I said my first prayer. And it went like this. God, this is Mike Lambert speaking. I want you to know that I like the stories of the Bible, and I would like to believe that they are true. And that was my prayer. Didn't say amen. I didn't know how to pray. I was just deciding. I saw people in church kneel down and they started talking. And so that was my first prayer. And when I finished my prayer, I was starting to get up off my knees, crawl back up on my bed. And somebody came into my room that morning. And I looked around and there was no one there, but there was someone there. And at first it scared me, because I'm like, whoa, there's someone here, but I don't see him. And I felt a hug and a peace come over my little heart and mind. I'll never forget. I haven't forgotten. And it held me in peace and comfort. And it slowly went away. And I crawled back up on my bed. My eyes were about like this. And I knew what I was reading was true. I couldn't explain why. I just knew it was. I knew that something happened. I didn't know what happened, but I knew something happened. And since that time, I have come to learn and know that God's word truly is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And the one that has been taught the scripture from their youth is anchored by the divine influence of that scripture. It has so operated upon them that they know for themselves its divine power. They know the difference between truth and error by the enlightenment of the mind and the effective production of what takes place in the heart and the life. Without any boasting, they are able to discern between things that differ, because all through scriptural truth, there is crystal clear clarity and a powerful, mysterious unction which does not attend the teachings of the most learned men on planet Earth. I cannot fully explain to you what this unction and spiritual fervor is, but every child of God who takes time in the Word of God on a daily basis knows it. God's Word is living. God's Word is powerful, and it has power to enter into the heart beyond that of any other word. The words of the Bible, you know what they do? Check it out. The words of the Bible strike and stick. They enter and abide. And he that has been taught in the scripture, steeped in the scripture, saturated with scripture, is conscious of its permeating influence, and it gives him a permanence of conviction which enables him to stand for God. For his heart is fixed on God, fixed in the truth, and fixed in holy living. He will stand fast, however evil the days are. Though all the rest should leave and enter the broad road to destruction, this man who depends on the Word of God cannot, for the divine Word, accepted by faith, has bound him to the altar of God. And in the truth, he must both live and die, come what may. The Romans, I understand, had a god. The Romans were polytheistic in nature, and they had a god named Terminus. This Terminus was the god of landmarks. Well, Holy Scripture is my landmark. Holy Scripture is the landmark for this great Advent movement. In the Seventh-day Adventist Church, We have no creed, but the Bible is our creed. This is our creed. This is our landmark. And if we will feed our hearts and our minds, I'm going to use the old King James word language. Is that okay? If we would feed our hearts and our minds with pulse, with the pulse and nourishment of Scripture, we will see like Daniel and his comrades our countenances to be fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children who eat the portion of the king's meat from the philosophical and political tables of the world. So the tent maker from Tarsus encouraged his younger protege, Timothy. He said, "Timothy, continue thou in the things that you have learned, knowing whom you have learned them, and that from a child you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. For in the Bible we see the story of redemption. We see the promised seed who came to show us the love of the Father and to redeem us from sin. The Bible tells us of all of God's love, all of His mercy, all of His power, all of His forgiveness. And that love and power is best seen in the story of Jesus, best seen in Christ, who is our Savior and our Lord. And you and I living today, just before the second coming of Jesus, between now and the time when Jesus comes, there are many things that are still left to take place. Many of those things are going to be on the difficult side. And we will not be able to make it through if our minds and our hearts are not stayed on the Scriptures and the heart of the Scriptures, which is Jesus Christ Himself. We must get to know this Jesus more and more. In Genesis, He's Shiloh. In Exodus, He's the I Am. In Numbers, He's the star and scepter. In Deuteronomy, He's the rock. In 1 Samuel, He's the Lord of hosts. In the book of Job, He's the Redeemer. In Psalms, He's the great shepherd. In Proverbs, the beloved. Isaiah calls Him Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Daniel says that He's the fourth man in the fiery furnace. Amen. Micah, He's the one whose going forth is of old, from everlasting to everlasting. In Zechariah, He's the branch. Malachi, He's the messenger of the covenant. In Matthew, He's called Savior. Mark, He's called the Son of Man. Luke, He's called the great physician. John, He's the Word made flesh. In Acts, He's the one who mobilizes the church to witness the grand truths and love of God to the world. In Philippians, it says that God has highly exalted Him so that one day every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. In 1 Thessalonians, He's the one who descends from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God. And what happens? The dead in Christ shall rise. In Jude, He's the one who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with what kind of joy? Exceeding joy. And John in the Revelation says, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard a great voice behind me saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Write what you see and put it in a book and give it to the church." And that's why we are here today. The prophets gave it to the church. So I have learned from this book that my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is what? Sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. So, give me the Bible, holy message shining. Thy light shall guide me in the narrow way. Precept and promise, law and love combining, till night shall vanish in eternal day. We are so grateful for the privilege that we've had to gather this morning. We're grateful for your word. We're grateful for Jesus, who is the word. And Father, our heart's desire this morning simply is that you would encourage us and convict us to consider your word more. Father, we understand that it's your word, the Holy Scriptures, that are going to keep us strong and give us wisdom for the final movements of planet Earth. And so please help us. Please continue to guide us as we daily take time to consider your word. And now we ask for your blessing as we leave this place. And we ask it in the name of Jesus. And let all the church say, Amen.
You've been listening to Mike Lambert, pastor of the Holland Seventh-day Adventist Church. If you enjoyed this sermon, why not visit his church this coming Sabbath or a church near you listed on strongtowerradio.org. You will find the Holland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 11279 East Audagon Street in Holland, Michigan, and their worship service begins at 10:50 a.m. This has been a Strong Tower Radio production.